Okay, so I talked a little bit about John Cage and the power of attention or listening and the role of silence in all of this. I think that's apropos for the topic that you were asking about here, Terry and Jonathan. And the kind of related thought that I have is so much of my own teaching practice was and is centered around providing learners with flexibility within constraints. And I think about that as kind of directions for performance. So whether you're coming from a theater background or a music performance background, or you've been involved in some other kind of construction project, you'll generally think about a series of steps that you've been given to do something, as well as some freedom to improvise or to perform or to produce variation within that. And most of us, when we're learning, are learning by doing. And at the beginning stages of our learning, we often will want more explicit instruction and oversight because we're not comfortable or not yet familiar with the tools, the processes, the steps. And so we're beginning and we want a bit more of a pattern or a stronger recipe. And then the more that we do a thing and the more experience we have with a thing, the more familiar we become with the learning tasks or the process or the tools involved, the more creativity we're able to infuse into the task and more we're able to personalize it and make it our own and experiment or to play. And I think good instructional design or good assignment design is mindful of those two aspects, of the constraints that help especially new learners begin to shape their practice and focus on the things that are important or essential for learning or for practice. So the controlled variables, if you will. And also providing or allowing flexibility within those constraints. Because very few of us like to think of ourselves as robots or automatons, just performing rote tasks again and again. And when learning feels like we're being asked to do routine mechanical things, many of us will rebel and say, this is not something I want to do, or not take it seriously, or not do our best work. So allowing a person to bring their humanity, to bring their background of experiences, to bring their creativity, their humor, their life to an assignment is really important. And also giving them some guidance as to where that's most appropriate and where fulfilling certain expectations is more important than diverging from them. So as an example, I would think about for a freshman writing class or composition class, you'd have a series of assignments. I would often have a series of assignments, and the culminating assignment would be a large, let's say it's a written narrative, a 5 to 6 page narrative about a crucial moment of your life in which you learn something about yourself or others. So again, those are the constraints. It must be 5 to 6 pages. It must be about your own life, and it must be about something that you learned. Now, there's probably 3 or 4 things that I want you to be demonstrating expertise or mastery in for that assignment. It might be using tone and diction effectively. It might be establishing a voice and switching between person, first person, second person, third person, and experimenting with what those tonal changes or those authorial choices mean. And so leading up to that final assignment, I might say, let's do a small focus assignment that's fun, but that focuses only on one aspect of that. So for example, I could give everybody 50 different story prompts where I'll give them the first sentence of an interesting short story or a famous work of literature or something like that. And the first part of the assignment would be identify the word choices, the sentence length, the person use, whether it's first, second, third person, in this one sentence and write a couple of sentences about what this author's chosen to do and the effect it has on you. Now, the next page, all you have to do is mimic that author's style and just make up whatever comes next. So the idea there is that you're focusing very narrowly on, say, whether it's tone or word choice or some aspect of craft that will be important later in the narrative, but you're doing it in a fun and really flexible way. You've given them a certain number of prompts, whether it's 10 or 20 or 50, that they can choose from so they can pick something that suits themselves and their learning style. And then what you're assessing them on is, could you identify those aspects that we've talked about together that compose style? And can you mimic it or imitate it? And do you have some practice trying on another person's style? That's a short assignment that you do and we have fun with, and everybody has different divergent experiences. And then hopefully those are some new tools that you can feel more comfortable experimenting and playing with when it comes time to write your longer narrative, say later in the year. Those are some examples I think about giving space and providing space for learners and why flexibility within constraints matters there.